In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most dear faithful, some of you may remember that at one point, not too long ago, we had a discussion on the meaning of the word Epiphany. And on Epiphany Day itself, we even spoke about it. We said that the origin of the word comes from a Greek root meaning reveal. And then we expanded the definition such that it is considered a usually sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. Thus, epiphany is a realization of the essence of something. It reveals what a thing absolutely is. And remember, the title of that sermon, if you went back and looked at it, was Recognizing God. So that epiphany is recognizing and seeing in whatever the event is that it is truly God present. Recognizing Him more than just once when the Magi came to visit, but looking constantly for the opportunity to see God, looking constantly for the opportunity to find God, and looking for the opportunity to recognize Him even in the most mundane aspects of our daily life. Now today in the Gospel, there's a section from chapter 8, but the whole of chapter 8 of Matthew's Gospel reveals a series of profound events in the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two very powerful moments are presented to us as that chapter opens. We hear this: when He came down from the mountain, great crowds followed Him. And you know, because we are all lovers of Scripture, and because we always desire to be first-person Christians, entering into the scene, striving to understand the context of the moment, trying to understand the audience, the focus of our Lord's attention, we therefore might ask ourselves, He came down from the mountain. What happened? What happened on the mountain that caused so great a crowd to follow Him down? So then, of course, Bible in hand, you turn back a bit, and you may realize then with a bit of maybe stunned amazement that Jesus has just come down from the mountain having preached the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel, all talking about the Sermon on the Mount, the preaching of such beautiful things as the Beatitudes, salt and light, teaching the people the Lord's Prayer, teaching them about the so-called golden rule, and any number of other beautiful things that He shared with them on the mountaintop. And so there was an abundance of goodness, abundance of inspiration happening even probably as they came down from the mountain. But just as they were coming down from the mountain, in the eyes of many, then a most horrible thing happens. A most horrible thing happens. And the quote is this: and behold, a leper came to Him. Now we might read that line, maybe just gloss over it in a rather blasé, ho-hum manner, as if no big deal, lepers showed up every day. But no, we're first-person Christians. We live into the scene, and we realize then that people more than likely would be screaming. They'd be screaming, unclean, unclean, and maybe even picking up stones to hurl at the leper to drive him away, not just to protect Jesus, but to protect themselves from this perceived enemy. And whatever joy and singing that may have accompanied their descent from that mountaintop experience now was rudely punctuated by the arrival of a leper before Jesus. And through Jewish eyes, and that would have been most of the crowd, it was the epitome of sin present, standing before Jesus. In the words of Dom Prosper Geranger, he said even more broadly, he said, it was as if the human race, infected with the leprosy of sin, approached the Son of God. So the next logical question, so from what or where did that leper find the courage, the determination to approach Jesus, risking really the real possibility of being hurt, even killed, because lepers were so despised and so outcast? Scripture does not tell us, but we can think, well, maybe the leper, even in hiding, might have heard a bit of our Lord's beautiful message in the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe he heard a little bit of something. Maybe it was just by grace. But whatever it was, he experienced what? He experienced epiphany, a life-changing epiphany, recognizing God in the person of Jesus. Remember that only an experience of divine recognition would cause an outcast soul to prostrate himself before the acclaimed rabbi from the mountain and declare, "Lord, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And then inexplicably, probably seeing again with horrified eyes, the crowd witnesses the good teacher, the one that they had just come down from the mountain with. They witness him touch the face of sin with his own hands and declare for all to hear, "I will be made clean." Dom Geranger declares, "The Son of God touches the leprosy of sin and by the mystery of incarnation restores it to health." The restoration of the physical was evident to all who were present. But the healing of that sin-sick soul was known only in the intimacy of the moment, when eyes met and heart spoke to heart. The healed one left speechless, and the healer had gently sent him off to see the priests so that another epiphany could again be made manifest. The epiphany of recognition. Recognition that only divine intervention heals the leprosy of sin. And only in the days when the Messiah returns will such prodigies be witnessed on earth. We, along with those witnesses in the crowd, might cry out and ask, "Tell me what happened. What have we seen?" And we can hear in the words of Holy Father Pope Benedict XVI when he says, "In that one gesture, and in those words of Christ, is the whole history of salvation. There is embodied the will of God to heal us, to cleanse us from evil that disfigures and that disrupts our relationships and our families. The contact between the hand of Jesus and the leper knocks down every barrier between God and human impurities, between the sacred and its opposite. The actions of Jesus show us that the love of God is stronger, stronger than any evil, even the most contagious, even the most horrible. Jesus took upon himself our infirmities, became a leper so that we might be purified. Dearest faithful, whether it's at the altar rail, whether it's in the confessional, whether it's before our Lord in adoration, may all of our hearts cry out, "Jesus, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.